Thank you so much. Good morning, colleagues, ladies, and gentlemen. Welcome to this meeting of the Orange County Housing and Community Development Commission for Thursday, February 27th, 2025. I'm going to ask Commissioner Carvalho to join me in honoring the flag of our great nation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. We will now proceed to the agenda for this morning's meeting. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as otherwise, as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on today's agenda. Public comment rights are not unlimited and do not include the right to defame or slander. The use of profanity that causes a disturbance or disruption in the proceeding and is truly objectionable is not allowed, and it may cause us to have to take a recess from the meeting. Public comments must be within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. As such, attacks on persons who are not subject to the jurisdiction of the commission will not be heard. I want to welcome Dr. Tiffany Mitchell, who's our newest member. Welcome, yeah. Commissioner Mitchell. And would you like to introduce yourself? And
So, Dr. Tiffany Mitchell, I am I'm an at-large member, but I currently work as a chief program officer for Orangewood Foundation. I have 20 years of experience within the community nonprofit space, primarily focused on working with underserved populations, families and children, with an emphasis on housing sustainability. So I'm excited to join this commission. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, welcome. Madam Clerk, will you please call roll?
Yes, good morning, Ms. Tracy Law.
Here.
Mr. Mike Alvarez is excused. Ms. Carrie Buck.
Here.
Ms. Stephanie Odo.
Here.
Dr. Tiffany Mitchell.
Here.
Mr. Wayne Carvalho.
Here.
Ms. Carla Wilkerson.
Here.
Ms. Helen Smith Gardner.
Here.
Mr. Mike Frost is excused, and Ms. Cecilia Hupp is also excused. Madam Chair, we have quorum, and I'd like to announce some housekeeping items before we begin. Please note that if a quorum is lost due to members leaving early or other reasons, the chair should promptly end the meeting. If you wish to comment on a specific agenda item in person, please complete a speaker request form identifying the item number, your name, and deposit the completed form in the box located next to the clerk. To speak on a matter not appearing in the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the H&CD Commission, you may do so during public comment items. Speaker request forms must be deposited prior to the beginning of the consent calendar, the reading of the individual agenda items, the opening of the public hearing, and or the beginning of public comment items. When your name is called, please come to the podium and begin your comment by stating your name or pseudonym for the record. Members of the public desiring to speak should address all remarks and questions to the commission. Speakers may address the commission on up to three occasions, with 3 minutes allotted to the speaker per occasion. Staff in attendance, all staff noted except Michelle Zadiba listed on the agenda are in attendance.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Clerk. We are going to move on to the approval of the minutes. Do we have any public comments for this item?
No request for item number four of public, I'm sorry, approval of minutes.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to move the minutes for
Carla
the meeting
Wilkerson?
Held on January 23rd.
I'm sorry, Stephanie, yeah. I don't mean to step on you. Carla Wilkerson, I will make a second motion.
Okay, so you're my first. You're my first motion.
Oh, I thought you said you were making the motion.
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Can I get a second? Okay. I think Wayne beat you to it, Tracy. So I've got a second from Commissioner Carvalho and Carla Wilkinson moved the motion. So all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going on, we have no presentations at this time, but that moves us on to item number five, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the H and CD Commission regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Speakers will have 3 minutes to address the commission, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time has expired. Madam Clerk, have you received any public comments?
Madam Chair, no request to speak under public comments have been received.
Thank you so much. We do not have any consent items. So that moves us to item number eight, our discussion calendar items. Our first item is draft 5-year and annual public housing agency plan for FY 2025. And that is being presented by January Johnson, manager of our housing assistance division.
Good morning, everyone. January Johnson, Orange County Housing Authority housing manager. This item allows OCHA to present to you our proposed 5-year goals and our annual plan progress report. If directed, OCHA will receive and report any feedback received from you. In your packet, you're going to find OCHA's annual plan for the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025, and our proposed 5-year plan for the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2029. The annual plan will include a progress report for the covered period, and the 5-year plan will include draft goals, a summary of accomplishments from the previous 5-year plan, and a verification of our Violence Against Women's Act compliance from our administrative plan. Before the floor is open for feedback, I'm going to briefly explain what the PHA plan is, and our proposed 5-year plan, and provide an annual plan update. So, OCHA's PHA plan is developed using HUD-required streamlined templates, so you'll notice that they're very similar templates in the plan, and there's not a lot of room for information. So it's very streamlined, very limited data in there. There are two components to a PHA plan, the 5-year plan and the annual plan. There is a supporting document to the PHA plan, which is our administrative plan. The administrative plan focuses on policies and procedures that OCHA uses to administer our program. OCHA brings the administrative plan changes to the commission, and that would be the best opportunity to bring forward any feedback you have regarding our discretionary policies. So there is a little bit of a difference between the PHA plan and our administrative plan. So what is the purpose of the plans then, the PHA plan, the 5-year plan, and the annual plan, if not to talk about policies? The 5-year plan details the goals that will allow OCHA to fulfill our mission. And the annual plan is a mid-cycle progress report detailing how OCHA progresses towards meeting those 5-year goals. When OCHA begins working on our 5-year goals, we first review our mission. And I'm not sure if all of you could recite our mission, so I thought I'd tell you what our mission is so you have an idea of why we established these goals. OCHA's mission is to provide safe, decent, and sanitary housing conditions for families with low, very low, extremely low income, and to manage resources efficiently. OCHA promotes personal, economic, and social upward mobility to provide families the opportunity to make the transition from subsidized to non-subsidized housing. So that mouthful is what our goal is. OCHA then reviews relevant strategic plans and local strategies to ensure any goals proposed align with the community's vision. OCHA reviewed the following in the development of the 5-year plan. We reviewed HUD's strategic plan, the County of Orange's strategic plan, County of Orange's permanent local housing allocation, Orange County's housing funding strategy, the County of Orange's consolidated plan, the Commission to End Homelessness Homeless Service System Pillars Report, and any recommendations received during the 2020 5-year plan planning process. So, as OCHA's mission and the purpose of the Housing Choice Voucher Program remains constant to serve low-income households with paying rental assistance, you'll find that some goals repeat themselves. As an example, the goal of expanding supply is a goal that's been part of OCHA's 5-year plans for decades, because that is going to be a continual goal of this type of program. So, considering the community's vision, OCHA's mission, these are the goals that we came up with. The first goal was to maximize existing resources and expand the supply of affordable housing. Goal number two is to promote family self-sufficiency. Goal number three is to focus on enhancing internal capacity to guarantee the delivery of high-quality service. Goal number four, to improve the quality of assisted housing. Goal number five, to enhance equal access to housing programs by reducing barriers. And goal number six, to maintain high performer status on CMAP. For those of you not familiar with CMAP, CMAP is the Section 8 Management Assistance Program, which is how HUD HUD measures a housing authority's performance. So that's the first part of your packet. So now I'm going to give you the second part of your packet, which is a little bit shorter, is our annual plan. Since this is a progress report and already established goals, and this document outlines OCHA's progress towards meeting the goals established in 2020. Those goals, since I imagine most of you, there are a few of you here that are probably here in 2020, but for some of you, we're not here in 2020. The goals set then were to open the Housing Choice Voucher waiting list, enhance accessibility for disabled and limited English proficient persons, expand efforts to affirmatively further fair housing, identify and utilize technology to enhance operational effectiveness and efficiency in the delivery of housing assistance services, expand the supply of affordable housing by applying for additional housing assistance funding and programs that may become available, and promote family self-sufficiency. You'll notice there are some differences between last period's goals and these goals. Some of the goals that we established this year will encompass some of those same intentions from 2020. So you'll notice there's a little bit of difference in maybe how we phrase things, but that doesn't mean that we have dropped, say, affirmatively furthering fair housing. That is just in another goal, another phrasing in our five-year plan. Finally, what happens next? HUD requires that both the five-year plan and the annual plan go through a public review period of 45 days. We publish the plan on February 7, 2025. We bring the plan here for you guys as a residency advisory board to provide us feedback on the established goals. And then it'll culminate on March 25th at a public hearing to receive comments on the plans held at the Orange County Board of Supervisors meeting. Now, I hand it back to the commission for questions and feedback.
Does anyone have any questions
that they would like to?
Okay.
That meeting on March 25th, that's a public meeting for them to comment on this five-year plan, correct?
Correct, and the Housing Authority has, when we issue the public notice, anybody from the public has an opportunity to come down to the Housing Authority and ask for those plans between this period and provide us feedback. That's just the public hearing, so it culminates there, but we can take feedback at any time during this period.
I'd like to further just comment, oh, by the way, this is Helen Gardner. Representative, I would love to comment on the website, which is awesome. I mean, it's totally different from what it used to be, so we definitely met that goal, in my opinion. So it's really easy to follow and find what you need, and not always been the case. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Are there any other questions? I have a couple questions. The waiting list, the new one that we opened and then we couldn't serve because of the lack of funding from the federal government. What happens to those names? Do we save them? Have we notified those individuals? How does that work?
There are 12,000.
So the way it works is the waiting list, just like when we opened the 2012 waiting list, those people still remaining on the waiting list, they remain on the waiting list until they have an opportunity to be served. And so nothing happens to them. We do communicate with them pretty regularly. They communicate with us pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. And so we'll give them updates about how long their wait is, where they sit on the waiting list. So their position won't change unless circumstances change for them. So some people may have been placed on the waiting list as in a category where they were not elderly, but now maybe they've turned 62, so they may report to us that they're now elderly. So their position may change, but we will communicate that to anybody on the list, and it doesn't go away till it's been exhausted.
Okay. My second question is under goal number two on the progress report, under languages, are those notes next to Arabic and Farsi? Or are those, what does that mean, check, on the first bullet? Page 23 of 23 of the packet.
So in the annual plan, we'll tell you what we did over the previous year. And so we did add additional languages, and those were Arabic and Farsi, and you'll find on our website, instead of having to do a drop-down, say like for Google Translate, those are embedded on the website, and they're embedded in any of our languages that we send out, any notices we send out or publish. Now it's published in additional languages, and Arabic and Farsi were added.
Are added, excellent. Okay, great. Okay, does anyone else, yes, Commissioner, so that was Commissioner Otto just talking. And now I'm going to call on Commissioner Smith-Gardner.
Thank you. So it looks like there were 57,000 applications and 12,000 were chosen randomly. I assume that number's still at 12,000.
It is at 12,000. I will say it's at 12,000, but I almost think it's 11,998 because I believe two people are no longer part of the list.
And
of their own choice.
Okay, thank you. Second point, how many remain from the 2020 list? Still around 1,000?
There's about 1,900 from the 2012 list still remain.
Okay. And hold on 1 second, it goes away sometime. But we're not currently issuing any new vouchers.
That is correct. Due to funding, we are not currently issuing any vouchers at this time.
Any prediction of when that might happen?
I know Julia will have an extended update when it comes to the executive director's report. I can say that, as you probably see in the news, funding is tight, and so I do not have any indication as to when we will be able to start issuing vouchers again.
Now, would that be for all vouchers, including, like, I mean, all types of vouchers? I mean, it's not VASH, obviously, right? But what if it was like family unification program?
Correct. We have been informed, HUD tells us what we can and cannot issue
right.
when there is funding shortfalls. And so HUD has put a stop on us allowing us to issue vouchers from anything except for VASH and our mainstream program.
Does 211 know that, if I have a chance?
Well, most of our programs that come referred, we are still issuing vouchers for. So like our project-based vouchers are still being issued. And VASH comes through 211, but our others are our partners. So like Social Services Agency is aware that we're no longer taking vouchers. Mainstream, we do keep our partners informed about what programs we do issue vouchers for. So Healthcare Agency is our largest partner for mainstream vouchers, and they're aware of the status of
Healthcare Agency.
So.
Healthcare Agency, you said?
Correct, Healthcare Agency.
So if you had someone that was really sick, for example, you might be able to get a voucher for them, and they might be
mainstream voucher program has very specific requirements. You have to be exiting recuperative care, or you have to be a high utilizer of Orange County emergency room services, and you have to have come through Healthcare Agency in order to kind of get that referral.
You've got to be really sick. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. So in goal three, your second bullet point, you talk about establishing the universal application for coordinated entry system, and that you had a meeting. Do you have regular meetings in that capacity? And how is that process, as a result of those meetings, help get people through coordinated entry system and the vouchers quicker?
So yes, we do have regular meetings with number of our partners, the other housing authorities, in addition to the coordinated entry system team. And the universal application process means that all the other housing authorities, including ourselves, use the same application and subsequent documents. Mm-hmm. So that anybody who's referred from coordinated entry and any of those service providers that are a partner with coordinated entry see the same application. And so that has helped because they're serving people from across the county. And so it was very challenging when somebody, say, maybe was in Anaheim Housing Authority's jurisdiction, and they're getting a whole different list of documents that they needed, and then they came over here and they're used to what they needed to do in Anaheim, but we asked for different documents. So we got together, established this universal application with universal requirements, and we still continually meet, and we have training on a regular basis with the service provider so they understand the universal application and they understand what the needs are. All the housing authorities participate in this, as well as coordinated interest.
Did you track any metrics on that, on like what it used to look like and what it does now, and how that's been effective?
Like, see if there's success, mm-hmm. you know, success metrics. I do not have any of those.
Okay. Just curious. That's okay. And then my second question, same goal, is let's see, the administering the incentive program with the signing bonus for landlords, did you see an increase in landlord participation on there and by bringing that to them?
I think where we saw the most success with that is most landlords participated with us anyway. So we didn't really have a challenge with landlords. I think that the challenge is really a lack of inventory. It's less that the landlords were unwilling to participate with the housing authority. In fact, our attrition rate with landlords is really low. We very rarely lose a landlord at turnover when clients move out and another one comes in. We have very good landlord retention. What we found with the landlord incentive program is that it allowed us to be able to negotiate rents. And I think that is where you're gonna find that there was more success. And sometimes a family wouldn't be able to afford a specific unit. And while the landlord was willing to take a voucher, that family couldn't afford that unit. The landlord incentive program allowed us to see if the landlord would negotiate down their rent a little bit, and then we would supplement it with this incentive program, allowing families to be housed. And so that's where we saw success. So less in participation, but more in actually being able to lease families out.
Yeah, that's great. A little flexibility is good. And then lastly, there's all the breakdown and goal number five of all the vouchers that have been put out, the various ones. Can you talk a little bit about the different subpopulations, families, TAE, individuals, and what that looks like maybe in going forward, if you're going to be looking at any way to make sure that the subpopulations are equally addressed versus individuals?
So those subpopulations that you see are HUD-defined populations. So HUD will open up an opportunity for us to apply for vouchers for those populations. Mm-hmm. Now, in some of the programs, the Housing Authority does have flexibilities in creating, or discretion in creating what the criteria is for a person to qualify for that program. Mainstream voucher program is a perfect example of that. Mainstream voucher program requires somebody who is between the ages of 18 and 61 with a disability. That's the limit. That's the minimum requirement for mainstream voucher program. However, it's a competitive application. And so there are extra points when you talk about being able to serve families experiencing homelessness or families with a disability that was more extreme. So the Housing Authority worked with community partners to find where there was a gap. And in that gap, we found that people were having a real challenge when they were exiting recuperative care and into a program like this. And so that's why you'll notice on our mainstream voucher program, we have some very specific requirements. It's because we worked with our community partners to find that gap. So with the exception of mainstream, most of our other programs are HUD prescriptive. So like family unification program or foster youth to independence initiative, those are HUD-defined programs, and anytime those vouchers become available, including VASH, we will apply. So about expanding it, if it's available, the money's there, we're gonna apply for those vouchers. But we don't define what that population looks like, that's defined by HUD.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Do you have a question?
Can you state your name?
Carla Wilkerson.
And I was wondering, were we able to use the 50 new vouchers that we received? And it says that they're effective March 1st.
Well, they're effective March 1st, so we can't use them until March 1st. So as soon as March 1st hits, the VA is still referring us veterans. Mm-hmm. And so as long as they refer us veterans, we've already been obligated that funding. So our intention is to use it unless something unexpected happens. So okay. Yeah, we're receiving referrals and we're expecting to use them.
And so these 50 are just for, that's a HUD bash. Oh, I was just wondering because of the close date to all the recent activity.
It's already been obligated, so we are intending on using them.
Commissioner Mitchell. I guess I have a clarifying question under the progress report goal 3, kind of going off of what Commissioner Buck was referring to when it talks about just inventory and how we're kind of working with landlords. Has there ever been an initiative to go after private homeowners to look at utilizing maybe some of the ADUs that a lot of homeowners are building on their properties to maybe support voucher holders?
We have not done any specific marketing to individuals with ADUs. We do use vouchers in ADUs, and so we have quite a number of families that do lease up in an ADU-type units. There's no prohibition against that, and we do work with families. There are some challenging components of leasing up with an ADU. Sometimes they don't have their separate address, or sometimes they don't there's some things that make it a little bit of a challenging connection to the Housing Choice Voucher Program, but we've worked around those, so we do serve families with ADUs, but we haven't marketed to them. And so in our new goals, I didn't go through exactly how those goals will be met, because there's a number of ways how each of those goals can be met. But our intention is to expand our landlord engagement into the upcoming 5 years, particularly considering what the next few years may look like as far as funding goes. So we do have an intention of expanding our marketing and our connections to our landlords as one of our goals.
And a follow-up question regarding special vouchers like the Foster Youth Independent vouchers. I know currently OSHA requests 25 annually, but there's an opportunity to always request more. Is it the limit because of the capacity to manage more, or why are we stuck at 25?
So there is an open for FYI vouchers. There's two types of ways that you can apply. You can apply on a competitive application, or they have an open application that you are correct. You can apply it for 25 every 6 months you can apply for 25. When FYI first came out, HUD did not allow housing authorities that had an FEP program to apply for FYI. So OCHA was unable to apply for FYI for several years because we already operated a family unification program. As soon as they opened the opportunity for those who have an FEP program to apply for FYI, we did. HUD requires that your utilization be at 90% before you can apply for another set of 25. Mm-hmm. Because we had to wait to apply for FYI to fairly recently, we have to get all those families in and leased up, and then we can apply for the next. And we intend to. As long as that open NOFA exists, mm-hmm. we will apply. We already received additional names from Social Services Agency for those individuals, and all we're waiting for, we're pretty close to that 90% mark. As soon as we hit that 90% mark, then we can do that application.
And I bring that up looking at the increase, because I know that the county is starting to reduce funding for THP plus programs. So then it looks like there may be a subgroup of foster youth between the ages of 21 to 25 who are going to become displaced or homeless. And so being able to have access to a voucher like this would be very helpful. And I believe those funding cuts are starting this year in April. So.
Yeah, as soon as we hit that 90%, we're there. We're very excited about the idea of continuing to apply. I will tell you, HUD combines your FYI with your FUP in order to consider your utilization. HUD has told us we cannot issue any FUP vouchers anymore, which means as turnover happens with our family unification program, our utilization is slowly going to go down and down and down. And so it's kind of a race to get to that 90% before we lose some people from the family unification side. It is unknown when HUD will allow us to continue to serve the family unification program, but we are closely watching it, and we can keep you guys updated on that. But as soon as we can apply for it, we will.
Oh, yes, Commissioner Buck.
Commissioner Buck, can you tell me a little bit more about the family reunification? When did that get stopped?
So it has a lot to do with the fact of how HUD considers your funding. So your funding is in separate, different buckets, and they combine your housing choice voucher funding in that bucket. You have family unification, non-elderly disabled, FYI, and your regular housing choice voucher program all in one bucket, and then and BASH. Separate from that, you have mainstream on its own, in its own bucket. When there is a funding shortfall in your housing choice voucher bucket, they tell you you have to stop for all those that fall into that bucket. So it's all those programs. The exception is they've made an exception for BASH, and it's like BASH is the only one that you can continue to serve. So it's because of how they group the funding. If it was grouped separately, it probably would have been different, but that's not how they do it.
Is there a way that service providers can help with utilization? For example, the families that are in the Family Solutions Collaborative, the agencies, is there a way that I can encourage them to help tick that up so that we can get to that 90% voucher?
Yes, absolutely. We work very closely with Social Services Agency, and I think that the key is not only with helping with lease-up. I think the SSA has done a very good job. They work with Orangewood. They do a very good job with the FYI, getting those families leased up. The faster they can get them leased up, closer we get to the 90%. I think really where the Family Solutions Collaborative or where the service providers could provide the most assistance is in retaining the housing. Because what we're finding in the family unification program is people leaving the program or not having the support after they're in the unit, and that's where you're gonna see your utilization drop. If we can keep people housed, keep people in the program, then we can hit that 90% and then we'll be able to make more.
Do you have specific agencies that are using the FUP?
Social Services Agency is our partner for those. Okay. And so they're usually the ones that connect clients to any sort of resources that they need, because that's their obligation to continue those ongoing supportive services while they're in that program. But
so they kind of could be scattered throughout many agencies, so as long as we're targeting all of our agencies, we might be able to.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
One more.
Yes, Commissioner Smith-Gardner. Sure.
Yes. I have been on this board for a couple of years. Actually, I think since 2010. But I asked the same question, I think, my first couple of years there, because I was working with a lot of unhoused families with infants and through Orangewood. And my question is the same. So I'm working with a family trying to get them some housing. They call 211, and 211 says to them, "We never heard of FUP." And I was like, I was kind of livid when he called me back. I was like, what do you mean? They said, they never heard of it. So then the social worker tells them that yes, the program exists, but the waiting list is miles long. But the truth is, there is no, you're just not, where do I send these people? They have two kids, two adults. I mean, I should be able to figure something out, right, after being here a couple of years?
Yeah, unfortunately for the Family Unification Program, there are, just like when I was mentioning for the Mainstream Voucher Program,
right,
there are some very specific criteria. You have to have an open case with social services in order to be referred. So the way that they need to get referred is to work with their actual social worker who has the open case with them. That social worker will make sure that they meet the other criteria in order to be referred.
No, their answer is it's a really long waiting list. That's their flat out answer. They don't even discuss it.
Unfortunately, right now there probably is a waiting list because we're not issuing any vouchers. So that is, I'm sure, an accurate answer at this time. Our FUP program is really highly utilized. We typically are in the 90s. And so it is a true statement that there may not be a lot of room on that, in that program, because we do use it and the families are referred and they do get leased up. And so,
But not now.
Yeah, unfortunately, the circumstances are a little different now. But typically, our family unification program is one of our more robust programs.
That's
and
good.
So, it is not unlikely that is a true statement. I think it's more of adding more vouchers to the program, because we only have 325 family unification vouchers,
right,
and so that's not that many families.
A couple of months ago, I came to this meeting and I found out about FUP. I'd never heard of it before, which is kind of sad. But so I got all excited and got these people all excited, and they've been calling and inquiring, and now I'm sort of embarrassed they did that because they cost them a lot of time that I could have told. Now I can tell them up front. So
they should still continue to work with their social worker, because there is an opportunity, like as it opens up, as funding opens up, or as there's available vouchers, you don't know sometimes on the horizon when they might open up a new funding opportunity. So it's a good thing for them to be aware of the program.
Same question, where do I send these people?
If they have an open case, they have to go to their social worker. And
they've
so
already
there's,
done all that, they've done 211.
Oh, you mean outside of this? Unfortunately, I'm voucher person, so I can tell you all the answers about vouchers, but the rest, when it comes to, you know, outside social service or social organizations, 211 is probably the best referral that I have.
Thank you so much. Are there any more questions on the draft 5-year and annual public? If there's not any more questions, we have no public hearing items, so we'll go to item number 10, reports of staff. I have Orange County Housing Authority update, January Johnson.
So excited.
Excited.
I'm like, wait a minute, what's Craig doing up there?
Okay, thank you, January.
January Johnson, Orange County Housing Authority. You guys are going to be very tired of hearing me speak, but I'll make sure that this one is pretty quick. I just wanted to give you guys, Julia's going to give you a broader update about funding.
Yeah.
In order to help understand a little bit, I did want to let you know that OSHA is preparing for several different funding outcomes. But in order for you to know that, I also wanted to explain how we get what our money is made up of, so that you have a little bit of an idea of when we're talking about staffing or vouchers, what that means. Housing authorities receive funding in two sets. So you receive housing assistance payment funding that is only for the use of making housing assistance payments. You cannot use that for staff, you cannot use it for a landlord incentive, you cannot use it for anything else. You pay rents for that bucket of funding. You also receive administrative fees funding. That's to pay all your overhead and to pay your staff. And so if you are looking at any budgets that come through or you're looking at anything that HUD releases, that's what those two pots of funding are, is you have your housing assistance payment funding and you have your administrative fee funding. So we are making contingency plans for a reduction in both, or both the House plan and the Senate plan are different. So we're kind of making plans based on those two things and how we're going to address staffing or how we're going to address clients with rental assistance payments. At this time, we do not anticipate an impact on staffing. I think we've been talking about staffing. For those of you who are newer to the table, you haven't been hearing about it, but for years coming out of COVID, we're operating at very low staffing rates. We're finally getting to almost fully staffed. And so what does that mean for our teams? I don't anticipate at this time any impact to staffing, but we're making plans in every eventuality. But I want to let you know that at this time, it seems like we'll have adequate employment levels or staffing levels, and there wouldn't be any impact on staffing.
Thank you so much. Okay, now, community development report from Craig B., Community Development Manager.
Good morning, Commission members. Craig B., Community Development Manager, Housing and Community Development. We're reporting on the five-year consolidation plan. Some of you have may heard of it, some of you have not. Five-year consolidated plan, called the CON plan, is a planning document for the use of HUD funds under the Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnership, and the Emergency Solution Grant program. The CON plan assessment is currently being updated for the next 5 years and is due to HUD on May 15, 2025. The updated 2025-29 plan will identify the current housing and community development needs in the urban county and set forth a strategic plan for addressing the identified needs. The presentation on the CON plan will be brought to this Housing Commission on March 27th. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, housing development would normally be Michelle Zadiba, but she is absent, so we have Julia Bidwell giving the report.
Hi, good morning. Julia Bidwell, Director of OC Housing Community Development. I'm giving you the housing development staff update. So the report covers the month of January. The project review advisory panel met on January 9th. Our staff presented threshold reviews for Mark's Way development in the city of Orange and underwriting review for the Brea PSH project in the city of Brea. Brea PSH was also approved by the board on Tuesday, February 25th, and is submitting their tax credit application this week. As mentioned previously, staff has been working on the 2025 Notice of Funding Availability, which was approved by the board earlier this week as well on the 25th. Staff anticipates releasing the 2025 NOFA at the end of March. And you may ask yourselves, you just were approved on the NOFA. Why are you gonna take till the end of March? There's a requirement for project-based vouchers to publicly notice for 3 consecutive weeks about the opportunity. And the opportunity is under the Notice of Funding Availability to apply for project-based vouchers for developments as well as capital funding. So that's why. For upcoming events, there are also 2 grand openings events on March 12th that the commission should have received invitations for. One is Archways in Santa Ana at 10 a.m. Again, both on March 12th. Dr. Mitchell, we can make sure that you're on that list now. We give developers all of the commission members' names, so they provide the invites. And the second one on the 12th is Orchard View Gardens at 12 p.m. in Buena Park. So two grand opening events on the same day. So that's the end of the report for housing development, unless there are any questions.
Yes, Commissioner Smith Gardner.
Thank you. So you just identified a place that you could send people to apply directly to. I mean, is it still coming through 211, or can you go directly to that apartment building and apply?
So for the units that we're funding, permanent supportive housing come through the coordinated entry system because they are for chronically homeless individuals and families.
Question?
Yes, Commissioner Buck.
Thank you. For the 2025 NOFA that's coming up, have you, that's going to be released, is there any requirements or any discussion metrics on different subpopulations within there that will receive funding through that to, for building?
We've not done set-asides. It's just an open availability for permanent supportive housing units.
Do you, when those all come in, is there anything that you look at as far as balancing that out as you're picking the award winners?
So in the past, most of our funding was Mental Health Services Act. And so we would work with the healthcare agency, and they have a plan, right, that had certain carve-outs. And so they would talk to us about, early on when MHSA first got going, a lot of people came in for senior and just senior only. And they said, we're enough right now. We need development for other subpopulations. We're pivoting. We don't have any MHSA in this round, but we do have services partners. So we'll be working with them. We also work with Continuum of Care, the Office of Care Coordination. And before we open up ANOFA, we ask them, right, because of permanent supportive housing, are any of the numbers, you know, showing that we have enough of something and not enough of another. Right now we're just keeping it open. So we do a more general review before we're opening up the NOFA, and then specifically with any service partners. So hopefully that answers your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this, this is Smith Gardner, is this conditioned with HUD nationwide? No one's issuing any vouchers in the whole country, or is it specific to Orange County, or is it on January, I guess?
Yeah, so pivoting away from the NOFA,
yeah,
I think
sorry.
January, I think it depends.
January Johnson, Orange County Housing Authority. The funding challenges are across the country. There are some housing authorities that may be that are in different situations, but I will say it's a universal problem or challenge that we're encountering.
So, but due to lack of housing in Orange County, do you see people pouring out?
I will say that Orange County still remains a highly desirable community to live in, and we have not seen a lot of people leave the community.
But if they did pour out, that funding still stays in Orange County, correct?
Correct. So the way the portability program works is that if somebody comes into our jurisdiction, we administer that voucher, but the voucher still belongs to the housing authority that initially issued it, and it works the same as somebody leaves from our jurisdiction as well.
Gotcha. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Moving on to our executive director, secretary's report, Julia Bidwell.
Putting on my other hat. Good morning, Julia Bidwell again. Executive director. And secretary to the commission. My report this morning, a federal funding update. I want to let you know about the poster contest, and Jessica's going to pass out some flyers to you right now. And then also about the trade show. We promised we'd tell you when it's coming. So first off, the update on federal funding. Most of you may have heard about the federal funding pause, and that rental assistance programs from the get-go were said not to be impacted by the pause. Obviously, there isn't a pause on the pause. We're more looking at the budgets, the House and the Senate budgets. The pause does not seem to currently impact us, We did receive both our February housing assistance payments and are expected to receive our March housing assistance payment. So that's to say that the funding is still flowing that we already have. We have been able to draw down on existing grant commitments, and we're uncertain about the federal future funding. So January mentioned if the House appropriations bill were passed, there would certainly be cuts in funding, and we are anticipating cuts. We're monitoring it. We don't have anything specific until those bills get passed, but we'll continue to update you on what we're seeing. We are making plans for if we have to make cuts that impact us in having to cut people from the program, which is a pretty deep cut, but we should make those plans. And just so you know, January is a very responsible manager, is already talking to me about that so that we can talk about that. That'll be the future. So let's move on to something a little bit more happy. We are looking at having the OCHA participants and any child that resides in affordable housing that's been funded by the county enter the contest that's sponsored by the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, which is our national housing authority organization. So they have a poster contest. Usually results in a calendar they put together. Now imagine, I mean, how many housing authorities are there?
3,300
housing authorities that can submit opportunities. So the poster contest works this way. NARO asks you to submit them to your regional affiliate. We're in the Pacific West region. And so if we get these submissions, we can submit one per age category, and there are three age categories. So what we intend to do is open up for this contest, send this to our OCHA tenants, also send this out to the property management for the developments that we fund for eligible K through 12 children. When we get them, we're hoping that your commission will help us rank them by age category and pick the three winners. We intend to do that. We just BCC you all on an email and number them, and you can pick the number. We hope that they will want to come to the commission. We have some certificates. Unfortunately, we cannot do any gift cards. We checked that out with County Council. For OCHA residents, we are going to indicate that we do have crayons and materials here at our offices in case they need those materials to enter into the contest. But you have the flyer in front of you. This is what will go out. There's a release, and then there's a narrative that goes with it. So hopefully we will get that. And again, the criterion is affordable housing supported by Orange County Housing Authority and the County of Orange.
I think this is a great idea, especially for any of those older kids, middle school or high school, who are aspiring artists, to try to lift them up, and hopefully they'll want to be highlighted in some way, but it just is something nice to give them an opportunity to grow. And
anybody, do you have anything else?
I do have one more item. So OCHA has registered to attend the 54th Annual Apartment Association of Orange County Trade Show. The theme this year is Jive, Staying Alive in 25, and will be held on April 3rd, 2025. We're telling you now, we still have March to remind you again, but we forgot last time, so we're making up for it. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on April 3rd, and it's still at the Fairgrounds, OC Fair and Events Center, located at 88 Fair Drive in Costa Mesa. Of course, we'll put together a video of the participation. We can send you the registration if you would like to attend. So, heads up.
That sounds fun.
What was the date? March.
April 3rd.
April 3rd. Sorry, April 3rd.
Thank you. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, we move on to member comments. At this time, members of the H and CD Commission may comment on agenda or non-agenda matters and ask questions of or give directions to staff, provided that no action shall be taken on non-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do any of the members have comments or questions? Yes, Wayne Carvalho.
I noticed that Ann Nguyen is no longer on the commission. Just curious as far as placement and more so on prep, because I know she was on prep, so if there's someone that would need added to prep.
Yeah, so two good questions. We will work with District 1. It's a District 1 appointment, so we'll work with District 1. They will nominate somebody to be on the commission to fill that vacancy. And then as far as, second question. Thank you. So Project Review Advisory Committee switched away from being a commission subcommittee. It is, the members are hand-selected by the director, which is me, to be on PrEP. Of course, if commission members are wanting to participate, I was looking at it because it doesn't require it to be PrEP members, whether or not there's any other technical non-conflicted, right? Because you can't be a developer or an advocate or and be on PrEP. So I'm looking into that. It started as three back when it was a project advisory committee, and we added a fourth. So three is just sort of the bare minimum. Okay. We'll look at whether we're adding a fourth. So in progress.
Thanks for the update. Just so you know, they meet monthly. We review projects monthly. Yeah. Yes. I'm excited because from a land use background, looking at the projects, I know there's funding issues that have come up, but we have Cecilia as well as Mike on there, so I was just curious if there was, Anne was on there, and I was just curious if there was going to be a replacement, but three is, I just want to make sure that there's always a quorum, because sometimes, somebody might not be on the call or something. So that's one reason I asked. Thank you.
Any other members? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. What are our committees? There's PAC. There was used to be like two other committees, right?
Yeah, there are no committees anymore with the update to the bylaws.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless the chair has an ad hoc committee that she...
Okay.
Commissioner Buck, I just want to say thank you for the presentation, the five-year plan. It was a lot to go through and look at all of what's happened and kind of think about what we need to look at next. So I really appreciate the comprehensive report.
Great.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to add one more for our discussion calendar for item number 8. We need to do a motion.
Just receive comments.
Oh, number 8, that was a receive and file?
You need.
Do I still need to?
We have to be directed to take comments. Okay. All right. I guess we have to be directed to take comments.
Okay. Oh, yes, I see that.
I apologize.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so.
That's my bad.
We will now. Yes, I understand what you're saying. So on back to item number 8, when we discussed the draft 5-year and annual public housing agency plan for FY 2025, I'll take a motion to direct staff to receive and record comments.
Commissioner Buck, so moved.
So moved. Buck has moved. Can I get a second?
Commissioner Law.
I think, tell me what.
Commissioner Law.
Commissioner Law has seconded, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for that, Ketch. And we have arrived at adjournment. Next scheduled meeting is March 27th, right here in these offices. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You need a motion to adjourn?
No.
Yeah.
Do it.